You weren't here for that.
It's kind of a mess.
I saw you guys talking about brackets, but
right.
I wasn't too sure what you were
Square
talking.
Brackets. Essentially, my example worked just fine. They went to basically clone it, and they had to put square brace brackets around the table name, which in Access you have to do if it is if there's an embedded space, but you shouldn't have to do if there's not. Again, it worked fine for me. My example does not have it around. But they could not get theirs to work until they put it around. The only thing I could think of is that sometimes something happens when you do a copy, and they copied from my form to theirs.
What I was confused about was that they had similar errors. Pat and sitting here, I don't know the name. And I had a different error for both of them. It said I just didn't have
Oh, Nick.
Zero.
That's the other Nick.
Nick.
That's
and he's probably the one that will eventually come in, so that's why I'm
working
on.
Had a different year than me altogether. I had just row zero missing him. I had row zero anyways. But when we all had brackets, it all worked.
Yeah. Could it have just been like an ASCII conversion error when copying the...
That's what I think, that it was a Unicode or ASCII or whatever.
Like I'll have like a white space that just happens to have like some small piece of data.
Exactly. And lots of times you have a... I find it happens a lot of times in quotes where they take over a different kind of quote because apparently there's two kinds of double quotes, which I didn't know. But there are two kinds of double quotes, straight ones and angled ones. And sometimes when you do a copy, you get the wrong kind of double quote.
Whoa.
So I always look at, if something's being really bizarre, I always go back and change the double quotes.
Is it an angled double quote? Like
huh?
Outsized double quote?
Yeah, I mean, one of them... The quotation, yeah, exactly. One of them is more straight and one of them is more curved.
Yeah, what? Oh, that one. Yep.
What?
It's where the tilt key is.
Yeah, it's where the tilt key is. It's up next to the one. Yeah. Okay.
So basically what we discovered was that it likes me better than them, but then beyond that, it came down to probably, I'm guessing, a copy thing. So if one of you is sitting open right now, recopy it and just... Write it out, just the select line, those two lines.
Yeah.
Just type it yourself and then erase the other one. I'm just curious.
Do it now.
And then we'll actually do something.
What? I'm not even doing you.
Close. When I turn my back, you'll sneak some in. I know you.
Yes.
See? To the floor.
Boom.
Okay, putting in first.
So do that whole line. Yeah, right.
I just did up to... I just put that. I didn't do this guy over here.
Okay, let's try that and see. And so you erased it and you just copied it without having the quotes around it.
Right. Let's find out. What's it doing?
No, it's breaking.
Didn't like it.
It didn't like it.
So, that there is
up one up. Yeah, I mean.
That was my only hope. That somehow in the copy process.
The computer decided to switch.
Something, as he said, white space got added, something got happened in the copy space.
Yeah.
You know, but retyping that line, I guess you can go to the extreme and type the line before and after, too. But retyping that line, I would think, would have fixed it if that was the issue.
What if it's something to do with the actual table itself that, you know, I mean, that's what I was thinking it might have been. I don't know.
I don't either. I mean...
And here's
but now that we know the fix, it's an easy fix. If it doesn't run without putting the brackets around it, put the brackets around it. But when you're doing something, you know, go with both ways and try both of them.
Your name, like in the table out of curiosity, was it one word or was there a space in there?
It was one word. donor 2000.
Yeah, but the column, the field, in the field, was it, where it's had the name. Did you have spaces?
I would guess that I would have had spaces.
Because I have space. Maybe it's because the column had.
No, I would have thought I'd put a space between my first and last name.
Yeah.
Unless I made a mistake, I would have done that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, maybe you did like a last and first.
No, it shouldn't care what the data is. It only should care what the, if the field name had an embedded space, yes, then it could get, but even then, I would think that that would have meant that the field name had to be enclosed in square brackets, not that the table name had to be. If I had given the table name, but I know I didn't. The table name just is first, right?
Yep.
If you go
just
into
first.
Access, the table
first.
Name is first.
No,
or whatever it is. So I've attributed it to flying saucers, so we can move on.
Yeah.
I have a lot of things in my life that I attribute to flying saucers.
Yeah, there's no space in my table either, anywhere.
It's
just on the name, just random. Okay.
Weeks.
What?
This could hang over our head for a good 3 weeks.
Oh, it could hang over for the rest of the semester. It's going to bug me for the rest of the semester.
Until you find out.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if any of you are on a Visual Basic forum of some kind, and I have not gotten on, I don't think, a VB forum, but if you're on, then go ahead and throw that question out and ask it and see what all of the semi-experts and experts have to say.
Microsoft One, they'll, a Microsoft, like, certified Microsoft expert.
Certified.
Certified, no less.
Certified expert.
Certified
by Microsoft, however. Okay, so we're going to Visual Basic, and we're going to open the next one down, which is something about grid names or something. I think it has the word nuts, not two grids.
VB grid 12?
Sure.
We did ADO for 12s.
Yeah, we did the ADO.
Yeah, we did, so BB grid 12 is next.
Are we just going down the line with the ADOs?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the law, I actually have an order to them when I put them out on the site. When I put them, the order on my flash drive is alphabetic, so, you know. That doesn't exactly tell me anything, so I have to keep going back to the order that I put them out there. Okay. What you see on this one is a data grid. And it's called Data Grid View. And you need to drag that over. So that's one of your toolboxes things. And that's my data grid view. Okay. So I dragged that over and I basically made it fill the page. Okay. So now when I run this, actually I'm going to go into the code and then run it. And you're able to run mine that you don't fix just fine, right? You don't have to go back and make the change in the selects with those.
Looks fine. Yeah.
So it definitely has to have something to do with the copy.
Yeah.
Because all of mine, when you open mine, they work fine, right?
Yeah.
So it's got to have something to do with the copy.
Even though I just typed it out?
Well, it's got to have something to do with the copy. I didn't say what.
It might have been something like the white space before, the white space after, that codes for having something happen after or before.
I mean, if you went in and typed the whole thing, I'm betting it would work. But
how much
I think
would
so
you
too.
Like to bet?
You, nothing. Because I don't want to.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here I now am going to use a grid. And we'll get into, as we go along, how you can choose things that you want to see in the grid and everything. But for now, the grid is just going to come up as the standard fields. Okay, so what I've got here again is dim book DT as new data table. And this time I did it within the subroutine because I am only using one subroutine. Usually I do that kind of stuff as global. And then I said dim the current path, dim the current string, and then I said, okay, select asterisks from a table called book. And then I said, okay, do my adapter thing, and this time I didn't dispose of the adapter. Again, that saves a little if you do it. And then the only thing I really had to do here was say, okay, I am going to make the data source of the grid. Okay, the grid was called DGD Basic 12. Mm-hmm. So when I brought over the grid, that was its name. I'm saying I'm making its data source BookDT. And it very nicely comes down here and fills in BookDT. And I can see all of the data in the database, and it adds the scroll bars to go so that I can get everything. So it sets up a grid of my entire data table, which is kind of useful sometimes.
You can even add to the table?
Hmm?
You can even add to the table?
Probably. Did you?
Well, you can type in. I'm not sure if it actually...
It's not going to take.
Yeah. Unless you tell it to.
Right. I, at least, I
don't have the option to.
Yeah. But if I, it's not going to impact the database.
Yeah.
It's if you put it in here. Or if it does, I will be the most surprised person in the room. Because we're going to go in later to how you can add the stuff and make it impact the grid on the actual database. But we're not into maintenance yet.
Where does it, where in the code does it interact with the grid at all?
It doesn't. All I did was put up the grid. That last line puts up the grid. It just says, okay. All right, so I'm basically up here. I have told it the path. I've told it the database. I'm selecting asterisks. I'm now saying the data adapter is going to put together the actual data I want with the connection string. And then I have said, okay, now fill the data adapter and put it into BookDT, which is my data table. And then I said, okay, put the data table in as the data source for the grid. And so it's now inside the grid. Okay. Now, as I said, there's stuff you can do to make changes to that, but we're not there yet. Okay, so the next one. Somebody want to tell me what the next one's named?
Sure. It's bind on click 12.
Yes, only it's really not a bind on, but that's all right. Because when I was doing this the other night, I said, why did I name it that way? Hmm. I guess it's a bind in some ways. Okay, here what I did is I put all this kind of housekeeping stuff into a module. So if I wanted to use this module, I can use this module in multiple programs. So I did the go ahead and set up the environment, select everything from the data table, and make the data adapter. I did not put the data adapter into the table that I want to use, the data table. Okay, so I have that in a module at this point. So then I went back to my form. Okay. And if I run this, well, let me bring up the data. If I run this, it will fill the donut DT and then do a fill of the boxes. So notice I did not start out with any data there because it basically set things up, but I finish off the filling the donut DT and the boxes in the load. So basically, I didn't do it such that it would open with data there. I have to click on load data and that will get me the first record. Okay, so it brought up an empty form because I didn't do the fill text boxes. I didn't take the data from the data adapter and put it into my new table, which is donor DT, my internal table, my data table. That's my internal data table as opposed to my external data table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have to click on that and then it will take care of that. And I have an index that allows me to just go to the next one. And I reset to zero, so if I want to go back to the beginning, I just have to keep clicking. And it sure beats writing the code to go all of them, so next will get me everywhere eventually. Okay, next. We'll actually slow down in a minute. What's the next one is...
Combine with SQL.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. File, open project, combine with SQL. Oh, okay. Okay, on this one it goes on forever. So this is my example that is using multiple paths. Okay, so I am saying here select D name, D drive name, D amount contribution from three different tables. D name comes from donor, D drive name comes from drive, and the amount contribution comes from donation. Okay? So I've got three different tables being combined here. So I said select D name, D drive name, D amount contribution from donor 2000, donation 2000, drive 2000. Where the DID on the donor table is equal to the DID number on the donation table, and the drive number on the donation table is equal to the drive number on the drive table. So I'm linking them together. Okay, so what I've got is I've got on the donor table, I've got the DID number. Okay, and I think I want a D name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the donation table, I've got DID number and D amount contribution. And, wait a minute, I shouldn't have put that in next. Because I've got the D drive number, and as I recall, they'll go in this order. It's just enough off so that I cannot change the pen at all. And the amount contribution. And then on the drive table, I have D drive number, and what is the name of it?
Drive number. What's
drive that? Number and drive name, is it? What was the other thing I wanted? If you go back and look at the fields, I can't see them. It was D ID number, D name, and D drive,
drive
name.
No.
Drive not drive no, okay, drive yeah, name.
Drive 2000.
Okay.
No.
ID number.
All right. There's a select statement.
Yep.
Read me the select statement.
Select D name, D drive name, D amount contribution.
D drive name. That's what I want, right? D drive name would be on the drive table.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, if you go and look at it, I mean, if you think about the logic, I've got a donor table that has all the information about the donor.
Yeah.
I've got a donation table, yeah, and there's actually a date in here as well. The date or something like that is in there, because those three things make up the primary key. And I've got a drive table that has the drive name, the drive number, the drive manager, and all that. Okay, so this is the drive, you know, the year 2000 drive or whatever. Okay, so I have these three tables set up. And what I want to show is the name from here, the amount of the contribution from here, and the name from here, right? Those are the three things that I want to show. So I need all three tables. And I need my linking. So my linking is this. Those are my links. I'm saying where the ID number on the donor table equals the ID number on the donation table.
Yep.
And the drive number on the donation table equals the drive number on the drive table. Okay? So I have linked them together. So I've got three tables going on, three things going on, and if I had the Access database, I could go in and take this and run it in SQL in Access, and I would see the same results that I'm going to see here. Okay? So I'm linking these tables. Now, the other way to link is with a join. Okay? I learned the where clause, and I like it better than the join. I find the join convoluted. You know, I can do it, yes, but I usually have to remind myself how to do it. I just like the where better. Probably at some point we should look at the join and deal with it. But anyway, there is a join that you can do. And it does this, but it accomplishes the same thing. The join just joins the two things the way I did here. It's just that the dialogue that it does it with, I think, is not as clear as the where clause is.
I don't like it either.
No, I just don't. I think the reason they got away from it is that the where clause can be used also for a bunch of other things, and so they decided they wanted the linking to be separate from the conditions, I suspect.
It looks better.
Yeah, because the where can get carried away. But I think the where is clearer, so I like it better. So anyway, that's what I'm telling it. I'm telling it, use these three tables, link them together so that I have the combinations. If I took out the links, I would get every possible combination. Okay, and we can look at that in a minute, but you get every possible combination if you take out the links. It takes record one from the first table, matches it to record one on the second table, record one on the third. Record 1 to record 1 to record 2, to 1 to 1 to 3, 1 to 1 to 4, and then start. So every possible combination, when you're reading three tables, that gets to be a very big number. Okay? So if you see this absolutely incredibly long list, you know that you didn't do it right. Okay? So that's what I've basically told it, that I want this. So I'm extracting that information, and then I had a select asterisk from donor in there, which I put in there just so you could actually go in and see the donor table come up as well. Now, what I did here is I have got now a data, I used a data set. And the data set I really didn't need to use. I could have just used data table, because when I was first doing this, and then I decided not to do everything all at once, I was going to have the donor table, the donation table, and the drive table all listed separately, and then take the information, and it was going to be much more convoluted, and I decided not to. So I had originally started out with a data set, and I decided to leave it as is. A data set means you can have more than one table. If you start out up at the top there with a data table, then you can only have one data table. Okay, you can have one table. So the select has to come back with one thing. Now, the select is coming back with one thing here. Okay, it's coming back with one thing into, I'm putting one thing into the fill. So I'm only using one thing. We'll see an example as we go along, I believe. If not, I'll do one. Where the data set uses multiple tables. Okay, and that's when I'm doing a matching. I'm doing, you'll see it actually, I think, today. I'm doing a matching between two tables. But here it's all being put together as one because the select, if you went in and ran this in Visual Basic, you'd see one output. So it's all being put together as one. If I decided, so I decided to stick with data set, and using data set, I'm saying use table zero, which means the first table in the data set. If I had other things that I put into the data set, then I would have multiple tables. But I'm not. So, but I'm saying, in all of my examples, I could have used data set and then used dot table zero, meaning the one and only in this case. It means the first table, but it can also mean the only table. Okay? If I have two tables, then I can extract differently. And as I said, you'll see that coming up. So I then said the data source is going to be what I come back from here. And so there's the data source. It's got the D name, the D drive name, the D amount contribution, and it is in the grid. Okay. So it came back with the information that I'm looking for and put it into the grid because I said show it in the grid. So the grid data source is go to that data set and take the first table. Okay? Yes, so, no, maybe?
So you did the select. Now that's fine to get what you needed. And then after that, you pulled up the data adapter there. That makes that takes what is put into the data. Then the fill puts it into it.
Yeah, the data adapter basically links the location with what you want out of that location.
Yeah.
That's what it's doing. It's saying, here's where you go to get it, and this is what I want you to get. And so then I said, okay, so now fill.
Which fills it.
And that fills it. And then I said, okay, now grab everything from table zero. In case it was more than one table. I don't believe that it allows you to let the donut DB. I believe you have to have the dot table zero. If you want to take it out and see if it will work, then...
From table zero?
Yeah, I believe you have to have something there. Once you've said it's a data set, I don't think that it lets you get away without telling the table, but we'll find out.
Huh.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing's coming up.
Okay. And I had dot...
Dot tables.
Tables, yes. Dot tables zero. And then it comes up all right. So now if I run it, it comes up. Once you've said it's a data set has the potential of having more than one table. If you know it's just going to be one table, then use data table. But if it has the potential of being more than one table, you can use data set. And then you can put more than one table in it. But once you've put more than one table in it, it says, okay, now when you want to see the data source, tell me which table you want to use. And table zero will be the first one you put in. Let me look at the examples that I have.
Got it.
And see if I can remember which one. What's the next one in order? Examples. SQL different code. Donor two tables. Okay, let's go. I think it's donor two tables.
Donor two tables.
Huh?
I think it's donor two tables, right? We just went over.
We just skipped one. We're skipping one for a minute.
Okay.
Because I want to follow up on what I have here, and I think donor two tables does it.
This one, though, this you can still use a data table. It doesn't.
That's right. That one, but it would have been fine with the data table.
Okay.
When I started out, I was going to do something a little bit different, and then when I realized what I was doing, I said, "Well, it's a good time to talk about what was the one I said we were going to look at? Donor two tables."
Donor two tables. Yep.
Hello?
It's because you dragged.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. There was something over there on the side, kind of.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Okay. I'm sitting here patiently waiting. Oh, not so patiently waiting. Okay, so I now have two tables going on here. And let's run it, and then we'll go look at the code. But this one is coming up. And it is John Doe is first. Mm-hmm. And then next goes to the next person, and next goes to the next person. And if I click on match, it brings up just the contributions that person made. Okay? So, that means I'm using these tables separately. I'm using the donor table to put the data up here, and I'm using the donation table down at the in the grid. So I'm putting the donation table in the grid, I'm putting the donor table in the boxes, and then I am linking between them. Yeah?
Match, does it only match to the donor number?
Yes. I could have made it so that it went the other way, but the way I coded it, it only matches to the donor number. Okay. So, I now have this code. And I actually don't think I have to pull it over that much. Okay. So, I started out, and I said, okay, I am going to have my path. And then I said, okay, SQL donor is going to be select DID number, DNAME from donor 2000. SQL donation is going to be select a bunch of things. So, I'm really using two tables here. And that's why I need to use data set as opposed to data table. So here I have to have data set, okay, because I'm using multiple tables. And then I did the adapter for the donor table and the adapter for the donation table. And I did the fill. And this time, instead of using table 0 and table 1, I've got the name of the table. Okay? So I'm saying take and put the donor 2000 table into the first one, DA donor, mm-hmm. and put the donation 2000 into, okay, the second one. I'm taking the adapter stuff and putting it into the table. Then I said, okay, now fill the text boxes. Okay, so now I'm filling the text boxes and the text boxes, and we'll look at that in a minute. And then I said, okay, now use table one. Because notice the order that I put them in. I put the donor table in first. And I put the donation table in second. So the donor table is table 0, and the donation table is table 1. I said that right, didn't I? The donor table is 0, the donation is 1.
How did you set that?
just by the order I did it.
Oh, all right.
Okay? I put it in that order. And so then I can either, with the data source, I have this one commented out, I can either tell it the name of the table or I can tell it table one. Okay, so if you're not sure which one you put in first, then you want to use the name of the table, okay? If you know what one you put in first, then you can use the number and avoid some typing. But either one of those, donation 2000 was the second table I put in, and so table one gets it, and donation 2000 get it. And then I was good and did the dispose here. Okay, so then I came down and fill text boxes puts the data into the box. Okay, and I can do that in either way as well. Okay, on the first one I put the name and then said the rows and everything, and on the second one I said table zero. So I can do that one either way. I can either say use table zero, or I can say use the name of the table. Okay? So now I've got the text boxes filled, so I'm going to have the first record on the donor. And I filled the grid from the donations, and I'm going to have all of the donations in the grid. Okay. Okay, so I've got all the donations in the grid, and I've got the first donor in the text boxes. So then I have a next, which lets me move through. And so I'm saying donor DS, that's the table data set, dot table zero, dot row count minus one, and so I'm moving to the next record. I'm doing the move to the next record, but I have to specify here very carefully that it's table zero I want to use. And I could put the data name in there as well. Okay. So now I've also got a previous that lets me back up. I didn't have a first and a last because I'm lazy. Okay, but I could have put a first and a last in as well. Okay, we talked way back, as in Tuesday, about the currency manager, and I used it once, and then I kind of stopped, mainly because I think it's as easy to do this as it is to do the currency manager. And so I tend to use this a little bit more. But it's totally up to you which one you want to use. So now I've got the match. Okay, so what I want to do is do a match between what's in the text box on the form and what is in the database, basically. So I'm saying here, dim row filter as DID number equals a particular, the text box, text DID number dot text. Okay. And I can use either the plus or the ampersand, and we'll take that one apart in a minute, but I want to keep going. Then I said message box row filter. So again, if I run this and I just click on match right here, okay, that's the message box that I'm displaying. And it's coming out with do it for DID number equals 11111. Okay, so that, when I said message box row filter, I'm showing DID number equal to what's in the text box, which is 11111. So I'm saying I want to find the DID numbers, and I don't haven't specified what table yet, but I'm saying that the field I'm going to look at is DID number. Okay, so here's the ID number down here. Okay, so I'm saying basically they match the DID number, and again, I haven't told it what table yet. I gotta tell it what table. Match the DID number to 111111.
Okay. I should quote that donor table, donor two tables.
Say it again.
How'd you pull up the message box?
In the button match, the third thing down says message box row filter. Okay, maybe
yeah,
mine does and yours doesn't.
It says that. As string, DID, yeah. Right? Am I looking at the right one? Match click.
Button match click.
Yep.
Button match click.
You hit the match button.
Okay, maybe you don't have the third line. I have the third line. Okay, then I fixed that. I added that at some point. I may have, for all I know, given my income tax flurry yesterday, I may have added it when I was looking at them last night.
Okay.
Okay.
That's cool.
So,
nice double checking.
Look at, you can go in and add it.
Yeah.
Just add that line right there,
right there,
which says message box row filter. And I put it in there, and I think I may have done that last night, actually, because I was playing around with this earlier last night as opposed to late last night. And okay, so you can just go ahead and put in message box row filter, and then you too will see it when it comes up. Again, I use message box a lot for when I want to see what something actually did. Then I just take it and say, okay, I want to see what row filter turned into. If I put it up there, then I can see it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So then I said dim DV donation as a data view. Okay, a data view when you're dealing with databases is when I do a query, the results of a query are called a view. Okay, I'm viewing the data in a particular way. So the results of a query are a view. So I'm doing a data view here. And I'm saying I want a new data view. I want a new instance of the data view. And I want to go to donors DS tables, and I want to go to donation 2000. Okay, so that now I am establishing what table I want to do it on. And I want to do the row filter. I want to do it on row filter, and this is the row filter that I'm going to do that on. And DID number. I'm trying to remember why that's there even. We can look at it in a second when I can back up again. And then we say data view row state current rows. So I want to get the rows that meet that criteria is basically what that's saying. Okay, so I want to get the rows that meet that criteria. The criteria that's in the row filter. And then I said, okay, now down below that, DV donation is going to be put into the grid. Okay, so I've just made the result of this is going to go into the grid. Okay, so if I change this, I'm trying to remember why that's in there because it seems reasonably useless since I've already told it it's the so if I type this again, okay, why isn't it telling me what I want to see? Shouldn't it be coming up at this point and telling me what I'm typing? Yes, it should be.
Did you make that top row a comment there?
I thought I did, but maybe I didn't.
Right, it looks like it's still
black
there.
You know, you're right. Maybe it wants me to comment the whole thing out. Yeah, you think?
No.
It's still not happy.
That makes sense.
Now it is. Okay, now it's decided I can do it. Okay, so I just basically didn't want to mess that up because I knew I'd never remember what I had in what order. Okay, so we're going to take this now and say okay. So now I can take this out because I know what it is up above. Okay, so row filter, comma. It's still, let's see, property row filter. Gets or set the button on the form that is clicked when you press the enter key. Huh? Okay, so row filter, comma, public property, da-da, can I make this go away? Enter key. I'm not sure what that means. Okay, there it is. Inherits a new instance with the specified a system data view sought to apply. Does anybody understand that any better than me? Sought as string. So that basically appears to be saying I want to sort on DID number.
Yeah, that is what it is.
But I don't see, I'm still saying why. Why do I have to tell it that? But I guess it's my particular example, I don't have to tell it that. But if I was doing something where I had a variety of things. So if I put D name in there, it would be kind of interesting, okay? So if I put D name in there, right? No, D name is not on the donation table. What's on the donation table that I can sort by? D amount contribution?
Yep.
So if I put that there, I'm saying it didn't, got it, it's now not in order, so I'm going to do the match. Yeah, okay. So changing that, that's the field that I sought by. Okay. So if I wanted to have it sorted on a particular field, I can put in that D amount contribution there, and it will now sort on the D amount contribution. Okay, so that's apparently what that field is doing for me.
Yeah, just switch the thing. To sort it.
Okay. So then I can go on to the next one and say I want to see a match there, and it will give me the match there, and I can keep going. And then when you look at this, this is that lovely problem of changing changing parentheses. So I wanted to come out with DID number equals quote and then the number inside. So I come out and I change to a single quote and then I say, okay, I want inside that, this is what I want, which is concatenation, mark, text ID, and concatenate. And actually, I have to concatenate to get the quote. What if I took out the concatenation? I wonder if that would work. So then I have the quote, and then I have the outside quotes around the whole thing. Okay, so that ends up saying DID number, and then the single quote goes around the number, and inside the single quote I'm saying put the fact that I want to concatenate the text ID number in. And it actually works. Not necessarily. I think I'll actually leave that there. And then maybe I'll remember next time I do it.
Put a comma.
Yeah, I could do that too. Okay. So that is that one. And then we skipped one, which was what?
We skipped SQL diff code 12. Yeah. You going back to that one?
Yeah.
All right.
I was just trying to remember. There was something I thought I was missing. And this one actually is not... Okay, this one is just giving me an option of do I want to see all students or do I want to see just the major students. Okay, so I'm dividing the path up above, but then I came down and I want different selects. So I wanted to combine a different select with the data adapter. So I put the data adapter in there again so that it would use the right script. Because one of them is saying I want a major, and the other is saying I want everybody. Okay. Notice the on the button CI click. Again, this concatenate here means concatenate with what's on the next line. That underscore means that. And you have to then repeat the quote mark and then put the CI that I want to compare to in single quotes. And you end up concatenating them together. Okay? If you put it up on one line, you wouldn't have to go through a couple of those double quotes.
So you need the ampersand and the
The ampersand is the concatenate, and the underscore is telling it it's on the next line.
All right, so you can just, if you want to go to the next line, you just use the underscore. Just... without the ampersand.
Well, if you don't want to concatenate.
Right.
But frequently what you want to do is concatenate on what's on the next line.
Okay.
And so you're concatenating it with CI. And if I put a message box there, I would see that. Okay, so now I am then going in and I'm doing the fill, and I'm doing the fill based on... Now, the fill could be something in common. Okay, I just did them separately, but I could have put those in a subroutine and had those in common. Okay. And I cleared out, probably didn't need to, but I cleared out because I was switching from one to another. So I did a clear. I cleared the table. So I'm basically switching. So if I run this... Come on. If I run this and I say, okay, I want to see all students, then when I go next, 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 I'm seeing all students. Mm-hmm. If I clear it out and I say CI students, and now I go next, 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 I'm only seeing CI students. Okay, so I can basically give the user the option of what do you want to see? Do you want to see everybody or do you just want to see CI majors? This one I put the first, next, previous, and last in. So I've got them all. So I can actually do what you should do. And I can go first, last, okay, previous and next, and the big difference is that next is adding a plus one and previous is adding a minus one. Okay, so I'm backing up. And in each case, when I hit zero on the previous and next, I go to the first one. So even on next, I go back to the beginning. If I hit next when I hit the end, and on previous, I basically just stay there. So if I keep hitting previous, so if I'm running this, and you can decide what you want to do. Okay, so I have just CI students, and I hit next, and then I hit previous. Previous is going to keep me here forever. Whereas next, I go through to the end, and then I will eventually, I keep thinking I've hit the end, I start all over. Because in this one I said, okay, set the row index to zero, and on the other one I said set the row index to zero. Well, they have different meanings. If you're at the end and you set it to zero, you're restarting at the beginning. If you've previoused back to the first one and you set it reset to zero, then you're just going to stay there. If you wanted to, you could set it up so that you did a row count and all that good stuff and go to the last one and keep working forward. Okay. How are we doing? Oh, we got some time. What's next?
Toe, Ritz, 12. Should have been 2.
Yes. No, I don't want the... What am I doing? Mm-hmm. I was starting to open the zip.
Oh.
I clicked on the wrong thing. As opposed to my examples, which should have all of them in here. Toe grids 12. What just happened? Why am I getting the zip? Maybe I didn't do that one. File. I'm going to look one more time.
Whoa.
I can't be that bad.
There it is.
There it is. Okay, so what's happening here? Gonna go get lunch before you go back to work?
Yep. I'll see you at 2.
Yep. Okay, so what am I doing here?
Lunch. Hmm.
Well, if you open it, I just opened the program. So, I kind of know what's going on a little bit. I like the design of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so here I've got basically the same thing that I did on the match on the other one, except that instead of using text boxes for the match, I'm using a grid. I'm using 2 grids. Okay, and on the grid, I was careful about choosing what I wanted to see in the select. Okay, if I had done a select asterisk, then I would see everything on the grid. Okay, because if I select asterisks and then I put it in the grid, I'm going to see everything.
Yep.
I decided that I only wanted to see ID number, name, city, and state, and I've got to scroll over if I want to see state. And it very nicely gives you these scroll bars automatically if you didn't set up a grid that was big enough. Okay, I could have gone back and enlarged the size of my grid. Okay, so I basically said these are the 4 things that I wanted to see. And obviously, like everything that you do in SQL, I can have a where clause on here, and the where clause can say where this is true, and this is true, and this is true. I can have a subquery on there such that I say, you know, so I can get as complex as I want to get in my SQL. Okay, it allows me to really fine-tune what I'm bringing in and therefore what I'm going to see on the form. Okay, so basically, I don't think you hardly ever say select asterisks from unless you're just throwing up all the data. You're usually looking for particular things. So if I put in here a where clause, and I could certainly not do a wear clause very well on that particular table because I can't think of anything I could wear on. But I could say wear ID greater than 22222 or something like that. So I can be very specific about what I want. In this one, I did an order by ID number because I just wanted to see it in order. Okay, I decided I wanted the donations to be ordered by ID number because I decided it looked nicer side by side when they were in order. So I said order by ID number. Okay, so I've got two tables going on there, and I'm putting them into SQL donor and SQL donation. Okay, and then I'm taking the data set and I'm putting them into the two tables. So it's exactly the same thing that you saw the last time. Okay, I'm doing the fill and I'm doing the data source. And on one of them I used the name of the table and the other one I used what number table it was. Okay, so then I came down and I basically said, okay, I'm gonna on this one put up an input box.
Yep.
And ask the donor to enter what number they want. Okay? And then I put in the row filter and I did the filtering out such that if I process this and I put in 33333, I'm just seeing 33333 over there. Okay?
So the one that you commented out, is that like it's if you pick a cell, it'll go right
yeah,
here?
Yeah. So we can change that. Except that we have to stop processing before we can change. What happened?
Build errors.
There were build errors.
There's no accessible item that accepts this number of
arguments. Overload resolution failed because no accessible item accepts this number of items. Okay, and I have to admit I didn't do anything with that last night, but clearly it used to work.
So it's something to do with too many arguments in there? Or too little arguments?
Grid donor dot item current cell. Huh.
Welcome to my world.
Huh?
Welcome to my world.
C++,
I've got the same problem right now.
Yeah. And I will solve it by putting something else into the parentheses that probably won't work either. And I'm going to try like four different ways to do it until I finally get it by fluke.
See them later. I'm going to try to see them around 615.
Overload resolution failed because no accessible item accepts this number of arguments. Okay, so tell me what you want to see. Filtering, searching.
The other one you put the inbox. This one's saying you get your. Yeah.
I thought I was going to get it to tell me what it didn't like.
Is that a grid donor dot current cell, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Provides an index to get us set. Come on. Can I get, please, the name of that? I don't like the fact that it does that.
You should try putting brackets somewhere. Maybe it'll work.
Get us set the cell at location at the
index.
Provides an index to get or set the cell located at the intersection of the column and row with specified indexes. I have no idea what that is trying to tell me. I will figure it out and let you know.
Sure.
But it wastes a lot of time to start debugging up here. That clearly worked because I don't put things up there that don't work.
Yeah, right.
So in another version of Visual Basic, whatever I had there worked. But now it does not work. So we will leave that commented out and I will figure out why it's not working. What it was supposed to do was, if I clicked on the current cell, I remember what it was, what it at one point did.
It would query with that current cell.
Pardon? It would, yeah. As opposed to my having to enter the number. If I clicked on the ID, that's what it used to do. So if I clicked over here, then it would say, oh, you want the 33333. Yeah, it's much easier. So if I clicked on one of those, it would go and get the stuff. And as I said, I remember what it used to do. I just don't know why it doesn't continue to want to do that. So
what if it's not supposed to be grid donor? What if it's is it thinking DA donor? No, I don't know.
Grid donor is the name that I put the grid in.
Yep.
So that's the grid that I'm putting the first table in.
I was just going to say DA donor, but yeah, that does...
DA donor would be talking about the donation. And what I was trying to do was the current cell within the grid donor.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever cell I had clicked within the grid donor. Now, if you didn't... And I actually remember this. This is what's really bugging me, because I remember it. And if you clicked on, for example, a name, it wouldn't work, because you can't match a name to an ID.
Yeah.
So you had to click on an ID number. I remember that part, and I remember that it worked. And I don't see anything wrong with the syntax there.
You have to keep us posted.
I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Yeah, it's fine. When you get to it.
That's my biggest complaint about Visual Basic is just like this. I would never sit down and write that without looking it up. I couldn't. You know, unless I do that once a week for a year, I'm not going to remember the order of the things there and what each one stands for. I'm just not going to remember that. I remember that I can do it. I know how to. I used to know how to go and look it up a lot better when Visual Basic had a better help. Now I go and do a search on the web and hope I find something.
Yeah.
Visual Basic, hello Visual Basic, are you listening? Your help needs work.
Help needs help.
Yes. I mean, it used to be a much easier help to work with than it does now. But it's just not easy. Okay, the other question I have for you is, how many of you have SQL Server at home?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I have it at work.
Do you use it?
Yeah, every
day. Really?
Every time I work.
Okay, so you're using SQL Server all the time. Good. If we have any questions about SQL Server, you better be here. I've played with SQL Server. I've got it. I think it's comes automatically. Check around and see if you have it. I'm not sure that it's not kind of automatically on your machine. I'm using 2008.
I use 3.
You're using 3. Okay. The one I have on one computer is 2008, and that's the one I've been playing around with lately. Your book did this lovely thing of changing. It used to kind of cover Access and they've changed my SQL Server. I'm going to give you some Access information. But if you have my SQL Server, or if you want to download it, you can download it for free. It goes with the book a little bit more than if you want to go back in the book. And you might even look on the CD at the back. I hadn't thought of that until now. The CD in the back may well have a copy of the back of the book.
So.
It's just Visual Basic?
Yeah.
Okay. But SQL Server is heavily used out there.
Yeah, it is.
So if you want to play around with SQL Server, for you guys, for you because you work with it, but for you guys, it's, you know, you've already worked with MySQL. You've already worked with Access. So one more database. When I was playing with it, it's very Microsoft-y.
No.
Yeah. You know, you almost think you're in Visual Basic kind of thing when you're doing this stuff. But there were a few frustrating things. I play with it every year and then forget it. There were a few very frustrating things, but most of it is pretty intuitive.
Like the brackets?
Yeah, right. No, it wasn't that. It was simpler. It was where to click to make something happen.
Oh.
It was much more the, okay, now I've got this, how can I... The first thing I remember, as I said, I play with it usually at this time of year every year, and that's the only time I play with it. But I remember going back when I was playing with it last weekend, and you know how you can go between the design view and the code view?
Yep.
It wasn't being friendly, at least I didn't think, of letting me do that. I figured out how to do it and don't remember. But it wasn't being friendly about how to do that, I didn't think. Okay, we are basically done with 2 minutes to go. It seems a little bit pushing it, too.
Are we visually basically done?
Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't do it.
Okay, and there's 3 programs I want you to write, and unfortunately you're going to have to develop that payroll database again, but since you've already done it once.
I've developed it 4 times.
The one that we did.
In PHP.
Yeah.
Okay, you get to do it.
So,